There is a thing that happens in poker once in a while where you just don't think the guy has it. You believe he is living in the land of zero, i.e., no goodness is in him. He's Mr. Ziggy, you know what I'm saying? He's bald as hell. He's got nothing. And so you don't need much to call. Even when these pots get very large. And when I say large, I don't mean $500. I don't mean $5,000. I don't mean $50,000. I mean more. More. And so you have to decide. As Doyle Brunson said, sometimes it's just about putting a man on a hand. Well, sometimes it is. And Andrew Neame is going to be involved in this hand from the Lodge card room in Texas. And he's going to be up against Yushan in this cash game hand where one guy's got a hand and one guy does not. And ho, Nelly! Okay, here we go on the breakdown. Grant Dennison and Jonathan Levy.
Hey,
a little stretchy your legs there, huh?
A little bit.
Yeah, a little stretchy stretch.
Did you like it?
I did like it.
Oh, you did? Okay.
I like to imagine the land of zero, but that's for our other podcast. The land of zero.
Just go with it. It's not called, the other podcast is not called the land of zero. It's called just go with it, in fairness to the other podcast.
But I like that as a poker term. You know how from poker time, I termed curving towards infinity.
Yes, it's like is great.
When you're basically just like tilting your balls off.
Yep, you're S-curving.
Yeah, and not caring about losses and just, it's just a slow curve around the sun and then you're gone, you're gone in a black hole and nobody ever sees you again.
Yeah.
The land of zero is like, that's good. It's like, When you're bluffing in a way that like your range doesn't really have a range advantage and you shouldn't be bluffing, maybe like that's not what is necessarily going on in this hand.
But no.
I like that for the usage of that term.
Mm.
You know, how would you define the land of zero in poker?
I think at least for now, I'm keeping it more basic than that, more simple, more straightforward, more real, more practical.
Like just bluffing?
Yeah, like I don't got it. I mean, I really don't got it. You know, there's like, I don't got it, but maybe sometimes you call and I win because you're an idiot, or I get lucky, or I beat some of your bluff catchers. And then there's the, I'm in the land of zero.
I have eight high.
Yeah. I mean, there's no way I have it.
Yeah.
Like I always lose 100% of the time. That I like that.
So the land of zero, referring to the percentage you have to win if called.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Although sometimes maybe you think you're in the land of zero, but you're in the land of like 0.01.
That is probably true with a lot of hands, actually.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we do see like some people make calls with 10 high and jack high once in a while trying to pick off straight draws. Often incorrectly. Usually it doesn't work out. But we do see that once in a while. But, you know, when you've got like 7 high, you're almost never going to get called by 6 high on the river, you know?
That's
the land of zero.
Yeah, that's the land of zero. Yeah. Unless your opponent has like some sort of a brain episode that makes them think that the rules of the game are different than they are, something like that.
Maybe. I guess the flop could be like ace, deuce, 3, like queen, queen, and they're just putting you on 4-6 or 5-6 the whole way, and they call you with a 7. But how often in life does that happen?
I don't know,
I'm going like, to say it's never happened
some,
to me on
like,
either side.
Pretty bad opponent is near the end of a long session,
yeah,
and they have a real brain fart where they think like not having an ace on a particular board means that it's a chop all the time when really it's not a chop unless a lot of other things have to happen. I can't come up with a specific example, but you know, kind of know what I'm saying, right?
Sure.
Yeah, and they call because they think it's a chop, and they actually have 6 high.
Yes.
And they're 6 plays, and you're 7 plays.
Right. Okay. Fair enough. I guess it's possible, but that's pretty close to the land of zero.
Yeah, it is.
At least
it
you
is.
Know.
It so is.
I'm vacationing in the land of zero right now.
You know, it's not the land of zero.
The land of not zero.
Spirit Airlines, which is an airline, but also the name of the Discord member that suggested this hand, and it's not the land of zero because they're always charging you more than zero for things that you would expect to be charged zero for.
How cheap does an actual Spirit Airlines plane ticket have to be relative to other plane tickets for it to be worth doing? Since they have all these surcharges and there's a lot of aggravation that goes along.
Are you including? You're including the aggravation.
I'm including everything.
I don't know.
All in. How much cheaper percentage wise does it have to be than other tickets?
Like in its final totality or in the original what they advertise?
In the original. No. Yeah. Because now you're going to
it's got to be like 15% or something.
Oh, I think it usually is 15%, yeah. Okay. I think you can... I will say this. I was looking at flights today, actually, as you showed up at my door today. And Spirit Airlines is the cheapest of all the flights.
Of course.
Significantly. And I don't even consider them. I just scroll right past and get to the next actual airline. Yeah. A real airline. Because I just hate it so much doing it. Every time I've done it twice in my life, and every time I'm like, never, ever, ever again. So...
There was some...
There's got to be a number, though, right?
Frontier is doing that now, too. There was some article about... that's not what we're here for.
Oh, right.
So that's... it was suggested by Spirit Airlines and Skjolder.
Okay.
Good job, Skjolder.
We know Skjolder.
We've played poker with Skjolder.
I have, multiple times.
He told me I had a punchable face.
He wasn't lying.
And I believed him that he thought that.
Yeah. Oh, he meant it.
I know. Doesn't bother me.
Yeah, I can tell. That's why you brought it up.
No, I don't care at all.
Yeah.
It's fine.
It didn't bother me.
Oh, it's fine.
He actually said it, and he wasn't telling you. He was saying it to me because we were at the same table, and you were at a different table.
Yeah.
But you heard, I think. You heard it.
I didn't hear that, no.
Oh, did I just like point it out or
no,
something?
No, he told me.
Oh, he did right away?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you heard it. It's more fun if you heard it. Like we were talking behind your back, and I was like, yeah.
Nobody gets away with shit behind my back. I'm everywhere.
How would you know?
That's a good point.
Yeah. Shit. It's like when people say, I can always spot a fake. I would like to ask you how you could ever verify that you always spot a fake. Unless you're literally checking everything and you have a way to verify if something's a fake or not. But then you're not spotting a fake. You're just checking everything.
They're playing with real money. The Lodge Card Club.
We believe that to be true.
And they're playing 25, 50, 100 with a $100 big blind ante.
Okay.
And Andrew Neiman and Brad Owen are both at the table.
Brad Owen.
You remember when Neiman was more popular than Owen, like by a lot?
I do. I remember when Neiman and Owen came to Poker Time, which is what, 2018 or something?
Some time like that, yeah.
So they played, and so we talked to them and all that. And I remember, so Neiman was clearly more popular than Owen at that point. I was surprised Owen, like Neiman was letting Owen sort of hitch his wagon a little bit to Neiman, where they were doing everything together. And then I was like, as we like talked to them about everything, no, Owen like handled all of the negotiating with us and all of the prep and everything, and Neiman just sort of like stayed out. And I was like, oh, maybe Owen like does all the work,
right?
And they're friends, and so that's like how. And then Owen gets to like ride this train a little bit, and boy, has that changed.
Yeah, he's the top dog now.
But Neiman now has like powerful enough, or Owen is powerful enough that he brought Neiman along with him, that they're part of this lodge thing with Doug Polk, which feels like that's going to keep him in the public eye in a different way.
Yeah,
like.
But and like, also hopefully make them wealthy.
Yeah,
that's the idea behind that.
But like Owen also gets like WPT like legit sponsorships at this point, where he's like doing commercials for them and stuff. I mean, it's crazy.
It's amazing how far those guys went with vlogging.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think they're both perfectly good at poker, to be clear.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not special. They're not like, oh my God.
They're not like Doug Polk.
Right, exactly.
You know,
they're not like, no one, and I think they would agree with this. I don't think they think, I hope they wouldn't take this as an insult because it's not meant as one. No one would think they're in the top like 200 players in the world in cash.
No, of course not.
But Doug Polk, absolutely,
yeah,
is probably in the two, at least in heads up and possibly in cash in general, right? Or could be very quickly and was at one point, right? And like there's just, we're doing tiers before with Mariano. So like these guys are, I would put them below Mariano.
Oh,
in
yeah,
terms
yeah.
of like cash game skill tiers. Again, not a put down on these guys.
No. I think Mariano's the best vlogger.
Right. Mariano's really, really, really good. And we had him in like tier 7 anyway.
Yeah.
So these guys are definitely good players.
Yes.
But you know, there's a lot of good players.
Yeah.
There are just two more of them who happen to like nail this vlogging thing.
They really nailed it.
Good for them.
Yeah. Congratulations to them.
They figured out, this is something you and I figured out too. It's like, it's cool to make money playing poker. It's cooler to make money not playing poker while still doing poker related stuff.
Yeah.
And that's
then when you play poker, it's a lot more fun. Let me tell you.
Well, for you. Yeah. You like, that was your whole way of making money there for most of your life, right?
So most of my adult life, but it was your most money-making thing for a while too, right?
It was, but the difference was I had backup plans that you didn't have. I had other career opportunities and options to like get money.
And nobody would even talk to me, so it was impossible.
Right, you were kind of fucked.
Yeah, super fucked.
There's just saying, there's a different level of pressure you probably felt than I did.
Perhaps.
Which, you know, good for me.
Yeah, congrats, man.
Yeah, thanks. Anyway.
All right, so it was 25-50,
yeah.
100, okay. With a $100 big blind ante. Andrew Neiman is going to open the action from the other side of the camera. Am I right? He's not behind the camera vlogging
nice.
This time.
I love that.
I know, that's why I said it. He's got $36,500 in his stack. 360 bigs.
Okay.
He has 10-9 of diamonds in the cutoff. He opens to 1K. That's a large open. There must be something going on besides just the $100.
Are they playing the Knit game? I think they're playing the Knit game.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's what
that's
it is.
That's very important to know for this. So
yeah,
I'm
it would
like
be try, great
gonna,
to know.
I'm going to like figure it out while you're doing your thing, okay? I'm going to like try and look and see at the video because that feels super important, right? Because they're playing the Knit game and he's just trying to win the pot, that's really different than if they're not playing it.
It is quite different.
So I'm going to look into that.
I'm going to guess they are playing the Knit game. Otherwise, he probably wouldn't have gotten 3-bet by the hand he got 3-bet by when he opens to 10x, most likely. Because it's not like Nimi is known as like a wild man opener.
They are 100% playing the Knit game.
Okay.
So.
Cool. That's a factor.
Yes.
And we don't know. I assume Nimi has not yet unknitted himself. We don't know about Yushan.
I'm right? looking and seeing neither Nimi nor Yushan has a knit button in front of them, which I assume means they have not won. I think you get a knit button now when you win the pot.
Oh, they changed around.
They
how
keep
you
changing
it
around, honestly, and different places do it differently. But the fact that Nimi 10Xs makes me believe it's very, very likely, and that Yushan then re-raises with the hand that he has, that they do not have knit buttons.
Okay. And the knit game is, for some amount, that's probably meaningful, whoever loses the knit game. Maybe like 3 or 4K for this type, this size of blinds, something like that?
I don't know.
Anyway.
It might be $1,000 to each player. It might be $500 to each player. It's hard to say.
Yeah. Anyway, it's a factor, obviously.
It absolutely
that's,
is.
Otherwise, Nimi, who is a reasonable player and opens to normal amounts,
yes.
from my knowledge, would not open to 10X. But he does. Makes it 1K from the cutoff with 10-9 of diamonds. What do you think about that, by the way, in the Knit game, to do 10Xing?
I am not a fan of that at all. Now, Nimi, I think, has played this a lot more than I have with these players, so he may know something that I don't know. Like, 10X just gets through all the damn time. And if the Knit game number is big enough, if it's like $1,000 a player, it's probably just fine.
Yeah.
And if like 3Xing is like never going to get through, especially because the Knit game is on and 10Xing does get through, and you get to like save all that money by just winning the pot a lot. And even if you get 3-bet and you have to fold sometimes, it's still probably worth doing. I guess it's okay. I'm talking myself into it as we go, actually. I would never occur to me to really do this kind of sizing. I think if I was sizing up for the Knit game, I'd go like 6X. You know, that seems like more than enough.
Yeah.
Personally, 10X feels like, geez, man. Like 6X, I can call a 3-bet a lot easier when I 6X it also, like with a hand that I'd want to see a flop with, you know,
right.
like 10-9 of diamonds. Like if I 10X it, I might get priced out of this pot sometimes, which would suck.
Anyway, Nimi off 36,500, makes 1K, 10-9 of diamonds in the cutoff. Folds to Yushan, who's in the third blind. He is the effective stack between the players. He's got 28,750.
Okay, I'm looking and I'm realizing I know why Nimi did this. It's because there's a straddle. There's a $200 straddle.
That makes a big difference.
Yeah, so that's why. So he's just 5X.
5Xing.
That makes so much more sense.
Yeah.
And it also means everyone except the straddler, it's like it's a 10X anyway.
Yeah.
So it actually works out really nicely, right? Okay.
All right. Yeah, that makes it a little different.
Okay.
Anyway, Yushan is in the third blind, so I guess the straddler is behind Yushan still.
Yes, that's right. Yushan has $100 in front of him. The straddler's got $200.
And Yushan has ace of diamonds, queen of clubs.
Yep.
I guess in the Knit game, this is an automatic 3-bet.
I think it is.
It's uncomfortable. And with the Knit game, let's assume for a second that it's $1,000 a player.
Okay.
Does it make sense for Yushan just to shove?
How deep is Yushan?
28,750. Nimi made it 1K.
So if we move in, the thing is this. Like, we can lose this hand and still not lose the Knit game. And it's important.
Yes.
So like, we have to be a little careful with how we risk things, but...
Right. We're obviously only getting called by superior hands.
It is hard to imagine Ace-Jack is ever going to call us.
Yeah.
Ace-King is definitely calling us. I think 10s-plus is definitely calling us.
Yeah.
9s, I don't know. 9s are probably calling, but it's unclear.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's it.
Yeah.
So the calling range is rough. We once in a while are flipping, but mostly fucked.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we're doing very poorly. We're probably like... 30% against the calling range, right? That's not great.
Yeah, but if the Knit game is on and Nimi still is a Knit or whatever, you want to call it however that is used, the phrase, he's going to have a lot of opens that he then folds. He's just trying to win the Knit game a lot of the time. Mm. He's going to have a wider opening range. You okay there, buddy?
Yeah, I think there's even more going on because it says there's 1975 in the pot before Yushan acts. So it means there's 975 in the pot before anything's happened.
So then there's a $400 double straddle.
Is that going to get us there? Six, seven, eight, yeah. 75. We're still $100 short.
It's a big blind ante. $100 big blind.
Right, I know.
You're still short with that?
I think so. $400, $206, seven, eight, 75. Yeah, we're still $100 short. Now, maybe they're wrong, but
yeah.
I wonder if there is... it looks like, no, she has cards too. So there's a double straddle. Maybe she double straddled to 500. So now Nimi's just clicking min raising with 10.
It's so different. What a journey we've
really
been on.
Really crazy things are happening. I don't like that sizing at all, if that's the case. Maybe he thinks because they're not deep enough to have to make it more. Like, you wouldn't want to make it 5,000 with 10-9 suited, but we could make it 1,600.
Could there be a kitty or something?
I mean, I see the woman who folds, and Nimi's effectively under the gun. Because even though he's in the cutoff, because Shonda folds, she's in the double straddle and folds.
She has a double straddle.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's a $200 straddle, then there's her. So it's at least 400, but it looks like it's probably 500 because it says there's 975.
I'm gonna guess it's 400 and that there's something
an extra 100 in somehow.
Seeing, yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
Anyway,
so that's now more normal.
Now Nimi opens to 2.5x.
More normal sizing.
Yeah.
Okay. That was a lot.
What a journey we just went on.
Sorry for not figuring that ahead of time, but you know.
We do not prepare.
We just go with it.
Yeah, that's a different podcast, but you know, we'll do it on this one too.
Okay.
So we figured that out. Thank
Great
God.
Great job.
Yushan
15 minutes of everyone's lives will never get back.
The journey is part of
the
joy.
We could edit it so that we could actually give that back
Never
to
in my life will we do that.
Fair enough.
Go to hell for suggesting that.
I'm sorry.
How dare you? Anyway, Yushan has ace queen. He's still a nit. Or whatever you want to call it. So it seems like 3-betting is the only choice.
You have to 3-bet this hand.
I think this is a spot to size up pretty significantly with multiple straddles, the nit game on, and Nimi also still being a nit.
Yes. And yeah, I agree.
So I want to go pretty big. I want to go like 5,500.
I was thinking 5,000.
Yeah.
Yushan does 4,000. That feels like you're always getting called, unless Nimi has zip and zilch and nothing.
Right, but if Nimi's at the most disadvantaged position at the table to open from, which he is because he's effectively under the gun, that means that his range is the tightest among all of his ranges, even during the mid game. So we need to make it bigger, because he's not going to have probably things like 6-8 off even during the mid game.
I mean, is making it bigger going to work against that range? What is?
I mean, he has 10-9 of diamonds here.
What's in Nimi's range that he's folding?
For 5,500?
Yeah.
I think he's folding 10-9 of diamonds for 5,500 when 28K is the effective stack. I think he should. Yushan does 3-bet to 4K, and Nimi ends up calling. Spoiler alert, I think you have to call for 4K for 3K more.
I mean, you're getting almost 2-1.
But when 5,500 comes into play, it really changes the SPR. It's a really big difference.
7,400 in the pot, and it's going to be 4,500 to call. But you are in position. I don't think he's folding because he's in position. And the net game is on, is my guess.
I mean, I think if Yushan just had 36K like Nimi, it's a big difference. But Yushan has 28K.
Okay, that's true. I don't know. I don't know if Nimi's folding or not for 55. I'm not sure that he is. I'm not sure there's a hand in his under the gun range that he's folding. So what's Yushan really doing here? He's isolating for the most part.
Yeah.
And taking initiative in the hand.
Well, I guess if Nimi's not folding anything, then it's better to go 4K than 5,500.
If Nimi's opening ace four of spades here, is he folding for 4,000?
No, I don't think so.
He's probably folding 5,500.
Yeah.
So that's the stuff we fold out. But that's the stuff we're least interested in folding out. That's the stuff we dominate. So,
right, but we are out of position. We get to stop being a nit if we win.
Nope, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I agree with
that. There's huge value in getting out of the nit game.
Yep.
So I don't know. I think I just like bigger. I think there's got to be hands that he folds for bigger that he doesn't fold for this size.
By the way, we can even put a price on the value of getting out of the nit game, right? Because if we know it's $1,000 a player and there's four players who still are left and you're paying out, what, $8,000 total, it's $2,000 is the current value of getting out of the nit game, right? Like, so we can actually, so that's kind of useful to be able to put a price on it.
Yeah.
Like there, when there's more people in the, more people alive to still lose the nit game, it's much less valuable to get out. As you get closer and closer, this is not a big surprise, but you can actually know what the value is. We can put real money on that, and it can help us make some decisions as we go.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, Yushan makes it 4K.
Yeah.
Who knows what would have happened if he made it bigger. Nimi calls because it's 10-9 of diamonds and it's only 3K more. He's getting a good price. And of course, position, you got to call here.
Yeah, I think you have to call. I mean, you don't love it because we're not deep, but you probably have to call.
You have to call your orthodontist.
Because it's time to get your teeth looked at.
Nitro Bedding is going to make sure they're all straight, not crooked, with all of their bedding.
All of their nitro.
Yeah, I don't know if that really tracked, but I don't care. I'm going to forge ahead. Forge ahead, which is what an orthodontist would say about nitro bedding.
Yeah.
Use the link in the description of this podcast when you sign up for nitro bedding to get all of the cool Poker Guys stuff. It puts you under our umbrella as one of the Poker Guys people.
So we protect you from the rains of sadness and bad luck.
Yeah.
And Castamere.
We don't protect you from that. That's fantasy world stuff. We don't do that.
Okay.
We'll protect you from the rays of the sun. We're like sunscreen that you buy at an orthodontist's office, which is
not for gambling.
Yeah, it's gambling sunscreen that you buy at an orthodontist's office. It's nitro betting.
I mean, I can't be any more clear than that.
If you don't understand what I'm saying, you're obviously an idiot. And that's okay. Idiots are here and they're allowed to be here. Right?
Yeah.
You can be an idiot. That's fine. I don't mind. Just use the link when you sign up. That's the only thing that I care about. Use the link, sign up, get your sports betting. It's NFL season. Bet on some dudes hitting each other in the head a lot. Let's go.
It's fun to do.
Let's go.
So you're saying that dentists encourage other people to forage ahead.
I cannot believe you just did that. You conflated dentistry and orthodontistry?
I did.
This is offensive on so many levels.
Who should be more offended, the dentist or the orthodontist? The answer is the orthodontist.
I think so.
For sure, the orthodontist. The orthodontist is like, I went to 6 more years of school. I know how to do braces, sons of bitches. Perhaps.
Don't be like the dentists. Be like the orthodontists.
Right.
At nitro betting.
People don't hate their orthodontists.
No, they love their orthodontists.
Well, compared to their dentists.
Oh, yeah, because of the dentist's personalities.
People hate the dentist, man. I don't hate my dentist.
Why not?
They're nice. They're friendly.
Is it because
they're professional?
Is it because they used the link when they signed up for nitro betting? Because
they're under our umbrella.
Do you want to get in Jonathan Levy's good graces? Of course you don't. But if you did,
if you did,
for whatever reason that's twisted and makes no sense,
it's okay. No matter what the reason is.
Yeah, just use the link. We'll see you there.
No matter how
disgusting
it is, it's fine. We support you.
$8,875 in the pot.
Okay.
Yushan has ace-queen off. He is out of position. He has 3-bet. Nimi has 10-9 of diamonds. The flop is 6 of diamonds, 5 of spades, deuce of diamonds. This is a Nimi-preferred flop from a range-based perspective, I would think.
Yeah, it has. It pretty much has to be. Nimi's got, like, pocket sevens. Yushan, most, I guess he could, but has less of those. Nimi, I'm saying, has pocket sevens, but that means he has the sets, right?
Yeah, that was a weird way to say that.
I agree. Very weird.
Like, yeah,
I mean, he's got the lower
pairs.
Nimi
has the weakest over pair.
He has the lower pairs.
And Yushan has the more powerful over pairs. And that's great for Andrew Nimi. I'm a poker guy. I call myself a poker guy.
I meant that Yushan has
Jonathan Levy.
Less smaller pairs. Well, Nimi has more bigger pairs. Is that true, though, based on the size of Yushan's effective stack? Is Nimi actually calling? If Nimi opened pocket fours, is he actually calling the 3-bet?
For 3K more, I think so.
In position,
yeah,
where he can like steal a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he is too.
Yeah, he's got the sets and the gut shots and all that stuff. And Yushan just can flat with those pre-flop even during the Nick game.
Yep.
With some regularity.
Agreed.
But it's the Nick game, and Yushan does have the ace of diamonds, which provides some backup if things go poorly here.
It does.
So it feels like, although it's a range disadvantage board, you still have all of your overpairs that you would bet. You have all of your nut flush draws that you would bet.
The other thing the ace of diamonds provides, to be clear, is not just backup, but it also kills some of the continues that Andrew would have.
Yes.
Right? So that's pretty nice.
So it feels like you got to bet.
Oh, yeah. We're betting.
88.75 in the pot. How are we sizing it?
5K?
Yeah, I like bigger here. It's wet. It's a range disadvantage board. Yushan goes the opposite.
Really, I want to like get Andrew the fuck out of this hand as fast as possible.
Yep.
So 5K feels like a good number.
Well, we know it wouldn't work because Andrew flopped a flush draw. But Yushan bets 2,200. And it just feels like this is not going to get that many folds.
No, this is like essentially never getting through. Like,
I mean, maybe if Andrew has
king,
queen of spades, you know, maybe
backdoor spades. Yeah. It's not even that. King, maybe jack 10 of clubs. He probably folds, but he even may call for 2,200. He may call all his overpairs or all his overcards, excuse me, just for the opportunity to potentially steal on the turn, to see what happens on the turn, use that position. So as Yushan, we have to understand, if we bet 2,200, that we may fold out near zero. We may be in the land of zero.
The land of zero, no!
In terms of folding
out. We just invented the land of zero. We can't be there yet.
I'm already changing its meaning, too.
Yeah.
In terms of folding out Nimi's range. It's possible Nimi's folding out some of the ugliest king-queen offs and stuff, but yeah. Maybe not. Maybe not.
Well, that would be problematic, wouldn't it?
That would, for 2,200, I'm not sure we're even folding out king-queen of nothing. King-queen hearts and clubs, which doesn't touch this board at all.
Yeah, I think we got to go a little bigger here.
Yeah.
Anyway, this makes Nimi's decision a little bit more interesting because right. If Yushan did bet 5K, I don't think Nimi's raising. I don't think too often with a 10-high flush draw. Maybe because of the knit game, he thinks there's more fold equity, but...
I would think with the knit game, we should have more fold equity, period. Yushan just has got to have a weaker range than normal.
It feels like when Yushan bets 2,200, we kind of have to raise. Like, it's... The SPR is such that we still have maneuverability even if we get called, you know?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. Even so, if we raised, so we'd raise to like what, 7,000?
Something like that, 7 or 8. Like just get rid of all of his random stuff.
Right. And then Yushan, if he calls us, it's going to have, we're going to be like 17,000 effective or something like that.
Something like that.
So we'll have like a pot size bet back. And then we can just, we don't even have to bet the turn if we don't want to.
No, I mean, we
probably aren't betting a lot of turns actually.
Maybe if we pick up a gut shot and we're just okay with going with it or something like that.
We could also do this though. We could call with the option of raising the turn because now we actually should have fold equity on some turns if there's a card we think is better for us that isn't a diamond,
yeah.
Essentially. That's another way to go. It's very cheap now. And Yushan may have a lot of give ups too. He may just check fold and we don't have to get it all in against the overpair, which is not great. And he ain't folding an overpair when the knit game is in play.
I mean, I don't hate raising now if we just are going to call it off if he moves in.
He's not going to be moving in on the turn, though.
No, on the flop.
Oh, on the flop. Well, we're going to have to call it off.
Yeah.
It'd be crazy to raise and not call it off.
Yeah.
Right? But are we getting the right price to actually do that? If we make it 7,000, he goes all in for 24 total. I don't even know if we're supposed to call it off. We're probably not.
Because we just have diamonds against the overpairs.
Yeah, we assume he's not moving in with ace-king very often,
yeah.
Right? And sometimes, by the way, now we've set ourselves up, we can talk ourselves into, oh my God, does he have like ace-queen of diamonds?
Well,
like,
I think
what
if,
a disaster.
I think if we raise, we kind of have to go with it.
But that's a reason not to raise, because I don't think we're supposed to go with it. If we raise to 7,000, we can raise bigger. We can raise to like 10K and force ourselves to go with
it. I think that's the play. That's a good
raise.
Play.
Yeah.
I think that's the better play.
We lock ourselves into it. We just mathematically like, all right.
And we know that there's more fold equity than usual because of the knit game. So raising is a better play than it would often be.
The only problem is making a 10,000 may feel like it's a little face up what's going on.
I mean, so what? Yushan going to do when he has like ace, queen of spades?
I mean, right. He's folding anyway.
Yeah.
That's for sure. But the thing is, with ace, queen of spades, is he continuing on non-ace, non-queen, non-spade turns anyway? Like I'm saying, we might be able to do this much cheaper by just calling.
I don't know. I think there's a lot of value in denying all of the equity at the same time.
There's at least some. But I mean, it's not even six cards usually, right? If he's got ace, queen of spades, it's four cards because we got the ace of diamonds and the queen of diamonds for us too. I mean, four cards isn't that much equity.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's fine to call. I guess is what
I think it's fine to call. I think I agree with you that if you want to raise, you want to raise a bit bigger.
Yeah, we really got to.
I like raising though, just because of the knit game dynamic.
That's fair. That's fair. We actually have something. Sometimes we're going to lose $28,000 here,
yeah.
But we can also win this pot right now, which is already getting kind of sizable.
Yeah,
doesn't suck. And but we just have to raise to a size that we have an easy decision. You know, the thing you don't want to do is put yourself in this weird no man's land, right?
Yeah.
Of like, I'm not really supposed to call. I'm not really, like, it's so close. It shouldn't be close. It should be, I have an easy fold or I have an easy call, whichever way you go. And in this case, I think we'd want to set it up, we have an easy call because, oh my God, it'd be crazy to fold overs and a flush draw here.
Yeah. Right? Yep. Nimi goes 6,300. So might put himself in no man's land.
Right. Because if Yushan has what he's claiming to have, i.e. kings.
Yeah.
He's probably moving in a lot with the knit game dynamic in this board.
Right? And the SPR.
And the SPR. Thank you. Yes. All that put together. Because what's Nimi raising? He's raising sets. He's raising draws. That's it, right?
Yeah.
And like if we have kings, and maybe worse overpairs once in a while. If he's got tens, he may just feel like he has to raise.
He might raise threes and fours because they're kind of like a pair with a draw.
Right. Cool. Let's put massive pressure on all that stuff. If the draws call off, we get it in where we're in good shape. Especially when we have kings, we might get him where he's only 33% to win.
Yeah.
You know? And worst case, it's 50-50, unless he has a set, of course. Set's a real problem.
I suppose you're not allowed to run it twice in the knit game.
You are. What you do is the first winner wins the wins the knit button, and then they. So you actually can run it twice.
Okay.
I guess Nimi could have 6-5 suited, but if he isn't 6-5 suited, and we have kings. He's probably getting it all anyway, right?
Yeah. Like,
sometimes he doesn't, but mostly he does. I think this is a. I think we're moving in with the big overpairs.
So yeah, that puts Nimi, Nimi in a weird spot if he does that. So yeah, I think I agree with your general analysis that either calling or raising bigger is better than this sizing.
Yeah.
But Nimi goes 6,300.
This should work just fine though, right? Like what's Yushan supposed to do here?
He does have the ace of diamonds. That's what
he's
got. Is
that good? We're blocking the most obvious draw.
It's not ideal. It's definitely like not ideal.
That's the thing we would want him to have.
There's quite a few other diamond draws in Nimi's range though.
There are, but geez, the ace of diamonds is like got the most of those diamond draws. And now we've knocked all of them out.
It's not ideal.
It's not ideal. We are beating all the diamond draws.
I think this maybe can be a call if the SPR is deeper. Like if we start at 50K effective here,
yeah.
I think we can call then with plan nefarious plans and with like runner plans.
So yeah, if a diamond comes, we can rep it
because
we got the ace. That's fair. Yeah. That's the reason to call actually, if anything, is we got some bluffing options, I think.
Yeah, but I think that's better for when we're deeper.
I agree. I don't know if we should. I don't think we should even call this. I got to tell you, I don't like having the ace of diamonds here because the only good thing is when Nimi has a flush draw, we're always ahead.
Yep.
We're guaranteed, unless he's got a five in his hand somehow, 7-5 of diamonds. But essentially, we're always ahead. That part's good. But the rest of it is terrible. Terrible.
Well, Yushan calls, and I got to believe the knit game is a factor here, where he just thinks that Nimi has a lot of random shit that he's trying to pounce on the sizing with, because Yushan sized it so
small.
He did
size
it
super tiny. Maybe that's part of it.
This is another problem with sizing it so small, is that you can trick yourself.
That said, Yushan is ahead right now. He actually has...
That's true.
He's got a little bit more equity than Andrew. It's 51-49, but still, like this, if you could see his cards, you'd happily call. So there is that.
Maybe he believes that Nimi's folding all of the small pairs. If you believe Nimi's folding all of the small pairs preflop, then maybe you can call because he has a lot of draws and I guess a few overpairs, but at least we have overcards and runner.
And then if that's true, then what's Nimi got left? He's got draws and he's got like pocket tens that he may feel like he has to protect.
Yeah.
And we call here, Nimi's going to shut down on almost all turns, right? He's not going to bet again. Now he's going to put us on the big overpairs, not want to lose more money. And then we can bluff diamonds if we want, sometimes hit an ace or a queen, and bluff besides that if we want to, by the way. If it goes check, check on the turn, we can just decide to bluff rivers.
We're being generous, though, to say that Yushan is just removing small pairs from Nimi's range.
I would fold this hand right now. I think Nimi's just supposed to take it down at this time.
But Yushan calls.
Okay.
He's got plans, or he just doesn't believe Nimi because of the knit game. I don't know.
The ace of diamonds does give us a lot of room to have plans. I agree we should be deeper, but still, it does.
Well, there's 21,475 in the pot now.
That's not a lot of room.
It's not great. The turn is the king of diamonds. So
much for all that he has a flush draw and we're winning thing.
Yeah, that's not winning anymore against the flush draws. Nimi now has a flush. Yushan does have a draw to the nuts.
That's true. That's pretty good.
Yep. So... Yushan checks.
Okay.
I guess that makes sense. You're playing in flow. You could start trying to tell a story here.
I mean, we basically have a pot-sized bet back, right?
Yeah.
Like, if Nimi moves us in, we just have to fold.
Yeah, we have a little bit less than a pot-sized bet.
I don't know if we should check. I think we should lead this card.
Just move in.
Fuck it. We got the ace of diamonds. If he's got a flush, now in this case he does, he's mostly not going to have a flush. The problem is he's not folding a set.
He's not folding a flush.
So actually, we shouldn't move in.
And our story is really bad.
But also, what are we folding out now? 7-8?
Tens. Maybe tens.
Tens. It's not enough.
No.
Okay, never mind. We shouldn't move in. We should check fold a lot, unless it's super cheap to continue.
We can hope it's super cheap. It would be really nice to draw the nuts.
Or we could even raise if it's super cheap.
Yeah.
Depending on how scared he looks.
Yushan does check. Guess what? It's going to be super cheap, and I want to talk about that.
Great.
Nimi's going to bet. He has a flush. Makes sense. It's vulnerable. It's just a 10-eye flush. He can get value from worse hands for sure. He bets 4,300 into 21,475.
I see what he's doing.
All right, what's he doing?
He's trying to say, I had a pretty good hand, and I still feel like I have to protect it, but gosh, I'm a little scared of these diamonds. Also, you might be scared of these diamonds, but have a pretty good hand. Don't go away. You know, he's trying to do all that at the same time. He's trying to keep the weak part of Yushan's range in. And by betting big, he's saying like, look, you can't beat my value or my draws because they all got there, sucker. And by betting small, he's saying like, I don't love that the diamond came in, but I can still bet here. But I'm going to bet small enough that you may feel like you have to continue with like two black kings and stuff.
Or maybe
he's
trying to induce a bluff.
That could be true as well. And obviously Andrew's happy to call it off here.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's always calling it off.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think Yushan's always checking any of his overpairs to the flop, right, on this card. So,
yeah.
I'm not sure. Like, is he folding those if Nimi bets a more normal amount? If he bets, like, 9K?
I mean, what can we beat of Nimi's betting range when he bets 9K on the King of Diamonds turn? Nimi's not betting 10s anymore.
No.
What's he betting? He's betting, maybe he has 7-8 suited, and he's bluffing with that.
Yeah.
Everything else I think we're losing to now.
Yeah. It's so, kind of true anyway at 4,300.
It's a little less true, but it is kind of true. I agree with you. What it does is it opens the door for Yushan to make a move right now, though. Or to call or raise, actually, with the Ace of Diamonds.
So you like the size?
I don't know if I like it or not, honestly. I don't know how I feel about it, but I feel like I understand what he's doing. It's different than saying I like it. Like, do we want to give Yushan that room, or do we just want to take it down? Like, we got there. We have huge value with our hand right now, and sometimes our opponent has equity, but not that much, right? Like, there just can't be that much equity left, right? There's 3, 4, 5, 6 dead diamonds if he's got the Ace of Diamonds in his hand. There's only seven diamonds left. Those would be his only outs. I guess the board could, in theory, pair if he's got King-King.
Yeah.
But we're just going to live with that.
Yeah.
If he has King-King, he's not folding no matter what we bet it. It doesn't matter. So we don't have to worry about that one anyway. I guess sizing up gets us more value against King-King. But so do we want to give Yushan the chance to draw with the Ace of Diamonds? Because we're giving him a pretty good price to do it.
He's getting the right price.
He's getting 4-1 to draw, right?
Is he getting better than
4-1? Oh, my God, he's getting way better. I'm sorry. Way, way, way better.
What you talking about?
You know, I don't have the hand in front of me, so it's a little harder to do the math. I'm doing it live here. He's getting like 6-1
to call.
So actually, this is not enough.
Yeah.
We need to charge the Ace of Diamonds more. We should not make it so it's mathematically correct for the Ace of Diamonds to just flat here.
Yeah, how about 6,500 at least, you know?
How about 7,000?
Yeah.
Okay, or how about move in? Just move in and be like, sometimes I have 7-8, sometimes I have diamonds, not my problem.
There's also the nit game dynamic, so your move-ins might get called by a much wider range because he just thinks you're trying to take the pot down.
Right, right.
Yeah. So yeah, I think I just don't like the small sizing here.
I agree.
Yushan calls because
he really has to at least call. He can't fold.
Yippee, I get to actually draw for the right price. Like, I don't have to make a move if I don't want to. I can actually mathematically call, and it's not a mistake.
Yeah, and I think he's right to not raise here because even though we have the Ace of Diamonds, I just don't think Andrew's folding any parts of his range that decide to bet this turn.
Right, I agree. Unless it's 7-8.
Unless it's 7-8.
Yeah.
Right, which we're beating anyway, although they may fold this out on the river. But they may give up a lot on the river too, quite frankly.
All right, Yushan calls.
Okay.
Pot is $30,000. Yushan has 14K left, give or take.
Cool.
River is the 3 of clubs. So there's a 4-liner to a straight now on the board. The board
four,
is...
A 4 makes a straight.
Yeah,
also,
6-5, deuce-king-3 with 3 diamonds on the board. Yushan checks.
Yeah.
Should he move in sometimes here? Just repping the nuts because he knows Nimi can't have it.
I don't think that's a good idea. We're giving Nimi 3-1 to call.
Yeah.
We're only essentially repping the nuts or a flush when we move in. Nimi really has flushes here. And his other very strong hands, I think, are probably calling too. I think he's calling his sets here. I don't think he's finding a tight fold in the nit game. I think he's just like, I call. What happened? Did I win?
Maybe.
You get 3-1. You don't have to be right that often, you know?
That's
part of it. Like, am I right? Am I good 25% of the time? Yes, I am.
So, Yushan, you can just look at this as a turn river math-based decision. Like, I was getting the right price on the turn to call, and it didn't work out, so
be it.
Yeah, the end.
Yeah, we lose sometimes. It's fine. Like, I think that's fine. I think if we didn't want to move in on the turn, if we didn't think we could check raise successfully all in on the turn, I don't know why we can suddenly move in on the river and have that work.
Yeah. Like,
what are we repping anyway? We're repping the nut flush that played it weird?
I mean, the nut flush, I think, might play it this way and move in on the river because they're really afraid of the check back.
It also might just 3-bet the flop a lot.
True.
Where it's like the equity is like running really close to most of Andrew's raising range, or at least some of Andrew's
That's true.
Raising range. And sometimes you get him trapped with a worse flush draw.
Yep. All right. So Yushan checks.
Yeah.
Nimi moves in, of course, because it's just pretty unlucky if Yushan has you beat.
Whatever.
Yeah.
You just live with it.
It's all right.
Part of the deal.
The reason this is a breakdown is because Yushan doesn't fold.
Does he raise? He reps the nuts and moves in.
Yeah, yeah. He ends up tanking forbidden calling.
He throws his car keys in there to raise.
Yeah.
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 No, he does
it's
not.
It's a 2001 Hyundai Elantra.
Okay. So this is the reason why this is a breakdown is because Yushan calls with ace high on this board in this spot.
There's again,
four liner to a straight, three diamonds around.
Six, five, deuce, king, three. So, what are some reasons that you would call? Obviously, you're putting Nimi on a hand worse than ace queen.
We better put him on that.
There's okay, three there's, obvious combos. The 7-8 suiteds that are not diamonds.
Yes. Those are the most obvious combos by a lot. There might be a few other things like 8-9 suiteds out there also where Andrew raises the gutter okay. on the flop and continues on the diamond turn.
So we have six potential combos.
Yeah, I don't know if he can even have 7-9 suited or not. I don't know if he's opening that. I don't know if he's calling the re-raise with it. Maybe.
Beyond those hands, we just have random bluffs.
There's nothing else. There's nothing else. I don't think of Andrew. Maybe I'm wrong. I haven't watched him play that much, but I don't think of Andrew as the kind of guy who's going to have two completely unconnected cards to everything.
Right.
Who's going to do this?
He has Jack 10 of clubs and he made this move.
He just does it.
Yeah.
I don't see that in him. I've never seen that in him. Maybe he's changed, but that is my strong recollection of his play style.
It's a stretch.
Yes.
That would be a stretch.
And if he has it, God bless. It's okay. Some things get through. This is it's supposed to get through against this hand anyway. Like we have a lot of hands that it doesn't get through on.
Well, this before is the hand it gets this podcast, Art, you said you had a defense of the call.
I do.
Okay, let's hear it.
Here's the defense. It's not even fair to really call it a defense. It's only fair to say this is what I think he was thinking.
Okay.
I don't think this is actually good enough to be a defense. But Andrew is repping pretty strong value here when there's four to a straight and three diamonds out there, having raised the flop, bet the turn, and moved in on the river, right?
So what do you think the bottom of his range
is? That's the question. Is Andrew ever moving in with 6-6?
I think he is.
Probably is, right?
I think all the sets are move-ins.
Yeah.
And then
that makes this a problem.
That means pocket threes and pocket fours are both move-ins, which were gut shots all along, and now one of them is a straight and one of them
okay.
is a set.
I agree with you. Okay, so we're going to have to think that Yushan isn't thinking about that because I'm just saying here's what I think he's thinking,
okay.
which is this. Andrew's repping very strong value. The most obvious strong value is a flush.
Yes.
We have the ace of diamonds in our hand, and the king of diamonds is on the board, killing most of Andrew's flush combos. Those don't exist anymore. There's a few, clearly, but there aren't that much that open under the gun call a three bet. There's very, very few diamond combos that do that.
If you think he only has diamonds for value,
right.
It's still kind of close, honestly. He's got 7-8 of diamonds, 8-9 of diamonds, 9-10 of diamonds, Jack 10 of diamonds, Queen Jack of diamonds, Queen 10 of diamonds.
Yeah.
Jack 9 of diamonds, probably during the Nick game.
It's at least possible.
Maybe 7-9 of diamonds.
Maybe.
And 8-10 of diamonds.
Maybe.
You know, it's not nothing.
Nope. But I think that's what he was thinking. That's why I said it's not a defense.
Yeah.
It's just, I think the fact that both the ace and the king are not in Andrew's hand means like, first of all, you have to decide that Andrew's actually repping a flush. And I think you're right that they're not deep enough for Andrew necessarily to only be repping a flush when it's half pot back on the river. He can move
and
in with
other things. And Yushan checked after calling the raise. Both. It seems like he has like pocket aces or ace king or something.
Right.
It doesn't seem like he has a super strong hand.
Right. If Andrew's got 5-5, I think he does move in. He's like, do you have king-king? Like, congrats. Like,
yeah.
I guess you get me. But, like, I'm trying to get called by ace-king and aces.
Yeah.
And even queens sometimes, maybe.
Right.
And jacks that want to hero me and whatever. Jacks with a diamond in their hand. Whatever. Something like that. I think Yushan took the idea of having the ace of diamonds blocker a little too far here. And seeing the king on the board, though, also made it a little bit more attractive to call, which it should. But I still think there's too much value in Andrew's range. And here's the other question. I guess we've already done this, but there are just not that many bluffs.
There
might be nine combos.
Six combos that we could think of. Maybe there's nine.
Maybe there's nine, but there might be three combos. There might just be 7-8 suited. Like, is Andrew really going to do this with 8-9 suited of not diamonds? I don't know that he's going to take this line for real. He might raise the flop. He might bet the turn. He might move in on the river. Maybe these things are all possible, but not every time.
No.
He's also going to just call the flop with that gut shot, mostly, I think, right? 7-8, he's probably raising a lot more. But is he going to triple barrel on every street when the king of diamonds comes on the turn and we get called again? I don't know that he is. He bet small, so he kept the range a little weaker. So maybe. I don't think they're all move-in. So I don't think there's that many bluffs, and there's a lot of value. This is a problem.
Yeah, I think it's just It's an ambitious call.
If we're right, they're going to play this.
It looks amazing, yeah.
They're going to play this on YouTube forever. This is going to be a thing people are going to talk about for a while. And because it's Nimi, it's going to be more so. Like, you're actually going to become a little famous from this. But, you know, if you're not, you're paying $14,000 for the privilege of this, the off chance, the small percentage chance, what is it, 12%, 10%, that he doesn't have it. And it doesn't feel like nearly enough because we're certainly not paying. We're not paying. The expected value is just wrong.
It is. Call. It is. And that was, that's how you lose $14,000 extra, I guess.
That's a bad way to do it. Hey. First time, no rehearsal. I say fuck the second take. Night is baby scratching on vinyls until the record break. Mr. One Night is all I need. No second dates.